You're listening to the Travel Geniuses podcast for travel agents who love planning vacations for their clients, but wish the business side of things was just a little bit easier. This is episode 68, and if you're sure you don't have ADHD, you should probably listen to this episode. Hey, Travel Geniuses, Christy here. Welcome back to another episode. As you just heard, this episode is about ADHD, but before you decide this episode isn't for you, I do really want to encourage you to at least give it a few minutes. There are a couple of reasons, one main reason, and that is that even if you're sure you don't have ADHD, you just might. And I was one of those people. It wasn't even just that I hadn't considered it. It was that if you had told me you think I have it, I would have thought you were crazy, mostly because I am not hyper. And that is what ADHD is, hyperactivity disorder. And I can literally sit on a couch all day with a good book or a good movie or a good bunch of movies. It does not bother me to sit all day. If anything, I feel like I have very low energy compared to other people. So I would have probably fought you if you had suggested that I have ADHD. I also, some of the more common symptoms that people talk about, and I'll talk about that later in this episode, I don't have those either. Well, it's not so much that I don't have them. I'm very good at masking them, which again, I will talk about later. So I just want you to give it a chance because me finding out that I have ADHD has changed my life, and I don't think that's at all an exaggeration. I have spent most of my life, if not all of my life, thinking I'm lazy, I'm unmotivated, I'm flaky, I'm unreliable, I am a bunch of really awful things. I mean, there are worse things to be than lazy, but I thought all those things about myself, and I thought I'll never be able to succeed at business. Like, I'm just wasting my time. I am going to either die trying, meaning just spending my whole life trying to make it work and never succeeding at it, or I'm going to have to resolve myself to working for somebody else and just crying all the way to work every day because I hate it so much. So I just don't, like, I know now that I have ADHD thanks to people who have shared their stories and their experiences. And if me sharing a little bit of my story helps even one of you, I'm happy to do it. So just give it a few minutes, even if you are sure that you don't have ADHD, just see if you do. And even if you don't keep listening if you're super bored. But if it's interesting at all to you, I would suggest listening as well, because you may know somebody who has ADHD and doesn't realize it, or even does realize it. I know it's hard sometimes to be friends or be in a relationship with somebody who has ADHD if you can't understand it, because on the surface, we can seem lazy and unreliable and flaky and like we're not good friends, but that isn't the case. And maybe you hearing some of my symptoms and the ways it affects my life, maybe it'll help you understand people in your life as well. And I also want to say that I'm not sharing this because I think it's at all interesting or that I think you are interested in the way my brain works. I really am just sharing, hoping that maybe if this is you as well, you'll see yourself in some of the things that I'm describing and look into it a little bit more. All right, I have a few other disclaimers as well before I start in on this episode. The first is that clearly I'm not a professional, I'm not a doctor, I'm not any type of expert, I'm not a psychiatrist or therapist, and I'm not even a very well-informed person who has ADHD. This is March right now. I was diagnosed officially in November of 2021, so I haven't known about it for very long. I've also been a lot of reasons. I haven't done a ton of research, just enough to help me get by. So I know people who have ADHD who know all the scientific reasons behind it and all kinds of other stuff. I am not one of those people. So understand that listening to this, I will say things that are wrong, I'm sure. I'm also only sharing my experience. I may mention other people, but obviously I don't know really what it's like for anybody else. So just because you don't hear your own symptoms a lot in my story doesn't mean that you don't have it or if you don't resonate with all of them, whatever. This is just my experience, and everybody with ADHD is different, and the way symptoms present themselves in their lives are different, and the symptoms that they have are different. So just understand all that. All right, so my plan for this episode is just to talk about some of my symptoms and the way they show up in my life, the way they make running a business hard, and I'll also talk about some of the things I love about my ADHD brain, and then I'll talk about maybe some next steps, sort of just a brief, like, here's what I did, here are some options for you. And in the show notes to this, I will have links to anything I mention and some of the resources and Instagram accounts that I have found helpful. So I have what's called inattentive ADHD, which means that I have trouble paying attention. And the other kind, the major kind, is called hyperactive. Those are the people who you typically think of as having ADHD. They're very hyper and can't sit still and do things without thinking. That's not me, but they don't talk about the inattentive kind as much. So I didn't know that that was even a thing. And then there are people who are a combination of both. And then, of course, Dr. Amen, who I will link to his Instagram account in the show notes, he has seven types that he talks about. But the two or three that most people talk about is inattentive and hyperactive impulsive, and then those with a combination. I've heard some people describe the inattentive type as having a hyperactive brain that makes it hard to focus and is kind of bouncing all over the place. So maybe that's where the H in ADHD still kind of comes into play. And I do know that has something to do with dopamine, meaning you have, I think, low levels of dopamine in your brain if you have ADHD. And also it affects the prefrontal cortex. And I don't really know what that means. I did look it up, but I can't remember what they said. So I guess my point in bringing that part up is just to say, like, this is a real thing. It's something that they can do a scan of your brain to see the prefrontal cortex being not as active. And I think there's this stigma or a thought or a belief in society that ADHD isn't real. These people are just lazy. It's just an excuse, all of that. But maybe when I tell you, well, I'll get into that in just a second, but maybe when I tell you, like, my biggest symptom, hopefully if you feel that way, you'll understand that it's literally not anything I can control. And also just know that there really is science to it. It's not just they don't want boys running around and misbehaving, so they give them medication to make them zombie out because their parents or their teachers didn't want to deal with them. I have thought that before as well. So anyway, there's science behind it. It's a real thing, I promise. Okay, so for me, the biggest symptom, and I've been aware of this my whole life, but I just couldn't figure out why it was happening or how to fix it, is I will literally miss entire parts of a conversation. It's like it didn't even happen. I will be in class, even as an adult, and they'll say, like, they'll be explaining something, even if it's something I'm interested in, this happens. Sometimes I'm in a meeting and I'm like willing myself to pay attention and I still can't. So they'll be explaining something and then they'll say, can anybody give any other examples? And I'll be excited because I have a perfect example and I say it and everybody, like, kind of looks at me funny, and the teacher says, well, yeah, okay, anybody else? And I'm like, what? That's a perfect example. I think what happens in those cases, I've never asked, but I think maybe the teacher already gave that, like, this is the feeling I get, like, the teacher already told us that, and I'm repeating what the teacher said, but I didn't even notice, like, I totally missed. It's not even like I'm aware that people are talking and I wasn't really listening. It's like I wasn't even there during that part of the conversation. This has been decades of dealing with this and trying to figure out what's happening. Do I just need to focus more? Am I not interested, like, asking somebody their name or asking my kids or my husband, what time do you have to work? And they answer me in that moment. It's not even like it was a big conversation and I have to ask them again or just pretend like I know and live with not knowing what time they have to go to work. So I've been trying to figure out, like, what is it I'm doing that's making this happen? And at one point, this is just shows you how bad it is for me. this particular thing. At one point, I had heard about multiple personalities, and I thought, oh, maybe I have multiple personalities, and another personality is out during that part of the conversation, and that's why I don't remember it. That's how totally it's missing. Like I said, it's not like I notice it's happening in the background. It's just completely missing. And just to let you know, just to be clear, I didn't really ever think I had multiple personality disorder, but it was just like this thought, like, oh, that would explain why this is happening to me. So that's probably the biggest and most noticeable one for me. Also, I have this block around names for some reason. I'm not sure if it's, I'm going to ask somebody if it's common in ADHD people, but I cannot remember the names of books I've read or movies I've seen or ports of call I've visited or ships I've been on. It's something to do with names that I just can't remember. I also never know how old I am without doing math. I have to figure out what year it is and what year was I born and do all the math. It's the weirdest thing. And I thought it was just me, but it turns out it's very common in people with ADHD to not know how old you are, which is such a random thing. I wonder what the science is behind that. I'm very easily bored and distracted. I can get really focused and engaged in something, but I cannot stand being bored, I guess is the thing. It's not that I'm easily bored. It's I can't stand being bored. So things like the other day, I was going to take a shower and I turned the shower on to get the water warm. And I didn't want to stand there for the 2 or 3 minutes. I must not have had my phone with me or something, but I didn't want to stand there waiting for the water to get warm. So I came out here to just like send an email, do something quick. Sending an email is not quick, but I came to my desk to do something. And 30 minutes later, the shower is still running. The water's now cold. So that it's not super common with me, but things like that do happen. I do hyperfocus, which is a word you'll hear a lot when people talk about ADHD. So my understanding as a non-expert, there are two things people mean when they say this. One is I can really, if I'm focused on something, if I'm working on a task, like I am in and it's like I have blinders on and you can come talk to me and I won't even hear a word you said. I won't necessarily even realize you were in the room. It's super rude of me. I know it makes people feel like I don't care, but it's not that I'm trying to ignore you. It just my brain has put everything into the task in front of me and can't even register that anything else is happening. The other type of hyperfocus is obsessing over something, learning something new. I can get interested in something and I want to learn everything about it. For instance, there's a show, The Great Pottery Throwdown or something like that. It's kind of like the British Bake Off, but it's pottery and they're making things out of clay. And I got super interested in that. So I went to the library and I got like 20, I'm not even exaggerating, 20 books about different kinds of like clay making stuff. And I did stop myself from actually buying a throwing wheel. Like I haven't actually done any clay making, although I do have plans to do it still. But I like wanted to learn like how do you buy the clay and what kind of clay and what's the difference between all of them and what's the difference between hand building and using the wheel and firing it and do you need a kiln? All of this, like every detail, I kind of want to get to expert level on that. I did it with decorating sugar cookies too. I watched the cookie bake off at Christmas and I was like, oh, that looks kind of fun. So I read all these things online about the best way to do it. I found Facebook groups of people who do that and read all their tips and tricks and ordered all the supplies and the coloring for the frosting and cookie cutters and frosting tips and all kinds of stuff. And I did it once or twice and I was okay at it, like not great. You would never buy my cookies, but I learned enough that I could do it. Okay, now I'm over it and all that stuff's just sitting in my kitchen. I mean, someday I'll do it again, but it was a lot of work, so I don't know. So that's hyper-focusing in that way. And if you do this, you will get a reputation among your friends and family as somebody who doesn't follow through on things, who like just goes from hobby to hobby, wastes a lot of money on things, and then loses interest and lets the stuff collect dust. So I have a lifetime of doing stuff like that. Now, I just mentioned how I can hyperfocus and literally not hear you talking to me. I'm just now realizing that it's weird that I can do that. But also, if I'm not in hyper focus and somebody interrupts me, those interruptions can be debilitating for me. Not debilitating in the, that was an exaggeration, just like it can literally waste a whole day. If I'm in an environment where even every 15 to 30 minutes, maybe I have to answer a phone call or a Slack message, or somebody will come in and ask me a question, I can't get anything else done because it takes so much for me to get into a mode where I can focus and work on something. So if somebody breaks that, or if something breaks that, it's incredibly hard for me to get back into it. And then I do it and then somebody interrupts me again. So I could literally sit at my desk all day and not get anything done if I get interrupted every 30 minutes or so. And it doesn't even have to be something big, like somebody talking to me for some reason today. I think maybe I'm tired. I've been working really hard to get the lab ready. So I think I just need to take a little bit of a break from working. Whatever it is, today has been really hard for me as far as distractions go. And my husband just like putting something in the microwave in the kitchen in the next room, or I could hear him crumpling paper and every little noise, my dog huffing, it just throws me off. And so I've really, really struggled to get things done today. So that's kind of how hard it is for somebody like me or somebody with ADHD to focus sometimes. So those are some of my more obvious symptoms, the ones that I'm more aware of. There are others that I would have said, no, I don't have that. That's why I'm sure I don't have ADHD. So along with not being hyperactive, I also have other things that I've been very good at, what's called masking. So masking is basically accommodating for things or hiding them so that you look normal on the outside. And they do think this is one reason why girls are so often not diagnosed, because they are very good at masking, or so I've read or heard. Again, not an expert, don't really know, but I have been very good with these things and have spent a lot of time in my life trying to find ways to not let my symptoms negatively affect my life. And so I'll talk about some of that here as well. And the only reason I'm bringing these up is, again, because for me, these were things that I would hear this list of, oh, people with ADHD, da, 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 da. And I'm like, oh, I don't do any of those. So I don't have that. You've probably heard that people with ADHD often lose things. They miss appointments or are always late to appointments. They pay their bills late. They interrupt people, talk too much and overshare, and make careless mistakes when they're doing work. So I don't lose things very often because I am very hyper organized and try to minimize the clutter around me. I don't like a lot of things around me, and I think maybe that's because I'm trying to make sure I don't lose things. I get actually really annoyed with myself when I lose something because it's not very often that it happens. I had a friend, or I still have a friend, but she, when our kids were little, she was like, she would clean her bathtub every day. And I hate cleaning, so I was certainly not in that club. But she would come to my house and be like, well, my house is always like clean, but I can always open any cupboard in your house and it's totally organized, because I didn't want to lose things. So I make sure that I don't have too many things. I make sure that I know where everything goes and everything has a place. And I really try to make sure I put everything back exactly where it goes when I'm done. I also don't make careless mistakes, because I spend crazy amounts of time on things like writing an email and making sure that there are no typos. Now, this is not, if you've gotten emails from me and there are typos, that's okay. I'm not saying I never do it. I just really try to make sure that all my grammar is correct and everything is easy to understand, that I've minimized any opportunities for any misunderstandings. Something that would maybe take a normal person 15 minutes to write an email, they would just not even think about it. It's a simple question, boom, write my response, click send, it's done. That will take me, and I'm not exaggerating, an hour or more to write that email and feel okay sending it. So if I'm looking at a list of symptoms and it says makes careless mistakes, no, that's not me. Ad takes an hour to send a 2-paragraph email. Yes, that is me. I also don't miss appointments and I'm not late very often anymore, but that is because I set alarms, multiple alarms for appointments. So I'll set one an hour prior to make sure if I need to shower or do anything to get ready, I have time to do that. I also set one for 30 minutes before in case I ignored the first one. And then I set one for 5 minutes before to make sure that I'm like getting in my car to leave at that time if I need to, or getting to my desk. Otherwise, I can easily get distracted. And even though I know I have an appointment at one, if I start doing something, I lose track of time and won't realize it till 1:15. So I have started setting alarms so I'm not late. I also pay my bills on time now, because I have created a system around that helps me do it. I used to be really bad and my bills were always paid late. I just couldn't keep track of when to pay them. So I don't know if normal people, if you guys can, like, you just know my bills due the 22nd and it's the 21st, so I should pay it, because I can't. My brain does not think like that. I don't know when they're due. I don't know what day it is half the time. So I have on my calendar every 2 weeks pay bills, and then I know which bills are due the first 2 weeks of the month, which ones are due the second 2 weeks of the month, and I pay them twice a month like that. And if it wasn't for that, before I had that system, my bills were late all the time. Not because I didn't have the money, just because I couldn't manage to figure out how to pay them on time, which is silly. But yeah, that was a really big struggle for me. I'm also not, I don't think you're going to, I mean, this episode is going to prove that wrong, but in real life, I'm not overly talkative in social settings. I hopefully don't interrupt people all the time. I mean, nobody's ever told me I do. I know sometimes I still do, but I really try to rein that in. So because of that, because I'm so scared of doing those things, I am often very quiet in social settings because I'm afraid of saying something without thinking. I get really excited about things and I'm aware that other people don't find them as interesting as I do. So I am afraid to bring things up sometimes, like this episode being one. Not that I'm like excited to share this, but I'm really trying to keep this concise and not bore you. And this is the second time I've recorded it, because the first one was about an hour long, little over, and I'm afraid this is going to get there as well. So it's hard sometimes to like rein it in if I'm excited, because like other people aren't as excited as I am. Also, my brain is like, it's like all these things just kind of swimming around and bumping into each other. So if we're having a conversation and you might be telling me about your favorite movie, my brain immediately makes 7 connections, like 7 different topics that are connected to each other. And then I land on wanting to tell you about something I saw in Japan that in my mind made sense, like it was connected, but to you, you're like, that literally has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. So because I'm aware that those things happen, I do tend to be quieter in social settings, because I'm trying to act like a normal person. All right, so now I want to talk about a little bit about why having ADHD can sometimes make trying to run your own business hard, which is unfortunate, because I have heard that 60% of entrepreneurs have ADHD, which means there's a good chance 60% of you listening do. And that makes sense, because many of our symptoms make it very hard for us to work in a traditional job, especially if you have the hyperactive form of ADHD, because gosh, if you had to sit in a chair for 8 hours a day and ask for permission to use the restroom, that's got to be incredibly hard. So there's something called executive function. And I think with people with ADHD, we have executive dysfunction. I'm not sure. And I'm going to read a description from the internet, and it's a little bit dry, but it's the best one I found. It just says executive function is the cognitive process that organizes thoughts and activities, prioritizes tasks, manages time efficiently, and makes decisions. Executive function skills are the skills that help us establish structures and strategies for managing projects and determine the actions required to move each project forward. People with executive dysfunction often struggle to analyze, plan, organize, schedule, and complete tasks at all or on a deadline. they misplace materials, prioritize the wrong things, and get overwhelmed by big projects. And if you have ADHD, that probably just put you to sleep right there and didn't make any sense to you. But I will copy that and paste it in the show notes and link to the article that I got that from. But basically, all the things you need to do to run a business are very hard for people with executive dysfunction, which is, I think, maybe everybody with ADHD. So for me, it's very hard to focus. I've talked about that already. So to sit down and work on a website or create a lesson. Today, I was trying to outline a lesson for next month. And I was telling you, there's all these noises around me. I wanted to cry. It was so hard. I could not function. Couldn't focus on it at all. I will get very easily distracted if I need to look something up on my phone. I pick up my phone, I see the Instagram icon, I click on it, next thing I know, an hour has passed and I've not even done the thing I went to my phone to do. And that can happen to me even if I don't spend an hour, is probably an exaggeration, but 15 minutes, half an hour, easy. And even if I don't spend that much time, it's like I do that and then there's something else on the other side of me and I remember, oh, I need to send this email. And it's just like, it's very hard to focus on a task and know what I need to do. Another thing for me that's very hard is organizing my thoughts. So I mentioned, it's like all my thoughts are just swimming around in my brain and bumping up against each other. And it makes it very hard to figure out where to start, which things are the most important. Everything seems to rely on each other and there's too many options and I don't know which is the most important. So that is very, very hard for me to do. Like outlining a podcast episode, I can create an outline, but where I really struggle is knowing sometimes some of the subpoints. Well, first of all, sometimes what order it should all go in to make it logical and make sense. But also, I might have a point that could fit under multiple headings or topics. So it might belong in different areas, and it's really hard for me to decide where to put it in order. Also, everything takes longer because of all the reasons I've mentioned before, trouble focusing and being a perfectionist and trying to make sure I don't make any careless mistakes. So everything takes me probably twice as long as somebody with a neurotypical brain. So that is hard because like something like a normal person could spend 4 hours on their business and get the same amount done, that would take me 8 to 16 hours to do. And because it's so hard, it's very hard to start. It's like, you know, procrastination. If you procrastinate on your business, maybe this is a new theory of mine. It might be because it's so hard that my brain's just like, oh, it's going to be so hard to do that. Let's just sit here and read this book instead. Let's just sit and like dream up ideas and not go to our desk. And I'll talk about that again in a little bit when I talk about medication and my experience with medication. Also, I'm extra tired and I've read, again, not a scientist or doctor at all, but I have read that your brain uses 20% of your body's energy at rest. So not when you're running, but when you're just sitting and resting, your brain is using 20% of your energy, which sounds like, and I think I've read people say that your brain really does consume a lot of energy. So imagine somebody with ADHD whose brain is not only like hyperactive and going a million miles a minute, but also really working hard to not do that and to focus, and imagine how much energy that uses. I used to feel really bad about myself and confused because I would spend 8 hours working, just sitting at a desk, not doing anything hard, nothing strenuous, but I would be physically and mentally exhausted at the end of the day, like not have anything left. If it was a very hard day, I would not even have the energy to scroll my phone. Like I couldn't even handle Instagram. My poor husband would try to talk to me and I can't have a conversation because I'm so exhausted, and not just mentally, but physically beat. So that being the case, it's hard to, again, get anything done or get as much done as a normal person can, because you're just 4 hours and you're like, you can't do, for me, I can't do much more than 4 hours of really focused computer work. I mean, I've proved that wrong in the last week or so, but now I'm paying for it and I'm exhausted. And then I think one of the biggest things is a lack of confidence, which you need if you want to run a business, right? If you don't believe that what you offer will help somebody and that you can actually do it, it's very hard to put yourself out there and offer that service or product to somebody else, especially if you have a strong sense of integrity and honesty, which I will talk about later, but I have heard that that is a common trait with people with ADHD. So if you have a history of letting yourself down and letting other people down and being a flake and being unreliable and being lazy and jumping from one interest to the next and never sticking anything out, then of course you're going to not have very much confidence in yourself and find it very hard to think that you have anything worthwhile to offer. And I will try not to go into this too much, but one thing that makes this especially hard for people with ADHD, in my opinion, is the experts out there, the gurus, the thought leaders who imply or explicitly say that if you're not succeeding in business, it's because you're not trying hard enough. It's because you're lazy. It's because you don't want it hard enough. It's because you don't want to work. Gary Vaynerchuk, who I'm not, you know, and nothing against these people. If you don't have ADHD, it's probably incredibly hard to understand. And like it, I can see how you would think somebody with ADHD is lazy and just doesn't want to work. I totally get that. So I'm not calling anybody out and saying that they're wrong or bad. I'm just saying how these messages feel to somebody like me. So he famously had this is probably where I first heard of him, honestly. There was this video clip of him somewhere telling somebody, I don't even remember the whole situation, but he said, stop watching effing Lost. Like, the reason you're not succeeding is because you're watching TV. If you're not succeeding, it's because you don't care enough. You're not willing to work hard. You'd rather watch TV. Kim Kardashian, I keep seeing this video of her now on Instagram this last week. I've seen it at least 20 times. Of her saying, nobody wants to work anymore. Like, that's why people don't succeed. Nobody wants to work. So maybe you need to hang out with more people who want to work, as if people who aren't as successful as her just don't want to work for it. I saw an ad. It popped up on my Instagram. Brendan Burchard, I think. I don't even know who he is really, but it was like a clip from a conference and they didn't show the gentleman's question, but I'm guessing he was saying like he has a hard time focusing. And so Brendan Burchard like pulled the audience. Okay, how many people in here have trouble with focus and motivation or something like that? And everybody raised their hands. He's like, see, everybody struggles with it. And the message I got is, see, everybody struggles with it. So if they can move past it, why can't you? What's wrong with you that you can't just focus and get motivated? And I have literally thought, and actually it turns out to be true, but I've thought for so long that something is wrong with me. Like, I am missing some part of my brain that other people are born with. So they're able to do this and I'm not. And maybe I'll never be able to do it because I'm missing that thing. Like, I thought it was some genetic defect or, you know, like, like just that I was irrevocably flawed, that I was broken. And I would never be able to fix that. And yes, I have believed that I'm lazy and that I just don't want to work hard enough. And maybe I don't want it bad enough, but I couldn't figure out how to work harder and how to want it harder and how to try harder. I felt like I was literally giving it everything I could and still couldn't do it. And to the point where I've talked about this before, where I have made myself physically ill. I was so sick for 2 years. And it turns out it was because I was just working too hard and making myself sick. So how can I work harder? And again, like, I understand why and how to somebody who doesn't have ADHD, it can look like you're lazy and aren't willing to put in the work. But that just contributes to this feeling of lack of self-confidence, which makes it really hard to do anything, especially put yourself out there and start your own business. All right, so now that I have thoroughly depressed you, if you're somebody who's like, oh, maybe I do have ADHD, I'm doomed. No, there are a lot of good things that come with your ADHD brain too. to the point where I mean, so good that I told my doctor, if the medication is going to change this, I don't want it. I would rather have my ADHD brain even without medication than to have a normal brain. So let's talk about some of that. First, I want to say, yes, it seems like everybody has ADHD all of a sudden and it's this super trendy thing, but maybe that's just me because I do follow some ADHD accounts, and I suspect that the people I follow, I've mentioned before that I've really made a conscious decision to not follow the like hustle culture people, and I've been seeking out people who are talking about a gentler way to do business and a business that aligns. Well, really, that just allows you to have a life too. So you're not just giving it all to the business. And I suspect those people have developed those theories and thoughts and processes around that because they maybe have ADHD too. And it's also, like I said, girls are very often not diagnosed at all. But thanks to the internet now, all it takes is a couple. So a couple of women get diagnosed late in life, start posting about it. Somebody like me sees their post and is like, hey, that sounds like me too. They look into it, find out they have ADHD, they share about it, and it spreads. And so more people are able to see these stories and relate to them and look into it themselves. So I don't think it's that it's trendy. I think it's just that more people are learning about it, sharing their stories, and more of us are getting exposed to it and learning that we have it too. So let's talk about some of the good things. People with ADHD tend to be very creative, not in the tradition, I mean, probably in the traditional sense too. I always used to think I was not creative because I'm not an artist or, you know, I'm not creative in that artistic way, but I am very creative with ideas and problem solving. And I think it's because of the hyper focus for one. So I'm interested in a lot of topics. I dive deep and then I get bored and I move on to something else and dive deep into that. So I've got exposure to a lot of ideas and things. It's not just crafts and stuff that I hyper focus on, but ideas and different types of businesses. So all of these things are just kind of, like I said before, just swimming around in my brain and bumping up against each other. And sometimes three or more, 20, I don't know, unrelated things will hit at the right time, and I come up with some sort of idea or solution to a problem, use, you know, just things that have literally nothing to do with each other. People with ADHD are also said to be really good problem solvers, which is something I absolutely love doing. So this is why I told my doctor, like, if the medication's going to change my brain and change that part of it, I don't want it. I'd rather deal with the bad things and keep the good stuff than lose my good stuff completely. So I'm very good at solving problems and finding creative solutions to problems. Partly, I don't know how much this is related to ADHD, but I'm very lazy. Like, I have no patience for boring tasks and things that if something can be automated, automate it, because I don't want to do silly things all day. So I spend a lot of time trying to simplify things and eliminate steps or automate steps and just make things easier and also accommodate my brain, which is very likely to forget a lot of important things. So that's why I'm always creating things with like these checklists and worksheets, and why I'm simplifying things so much here on the podcast and in the lab. That was all stuff I did before I even knew I had ADHD. So it's just like things I had to do to accommodate for my brain, and I need things to be very simple. So there's a good chance if you love some of the stuff I've done as far as content here and things in the lab, if you're in the lab, you might be drawn to those because you have ADHD. Although I think those things would work for neurotypical people too. I don't know. So if you have listened this far and you're sure still that you don't have ADHD, like there's literally, you sound like a crazy person, Christy. Like, that is not how normal people work and live. So if you're sure you don't have ADHD, but you still enjoy, you probably haven't made it this far on the podcast, but if you did and you enjoy some of the worksheets I've done and the topics that I've covered in the podcast, I really want to know if regular people like it or if they're like, oh, this is like so silly. Why do you need a checklist for this? It's so simple. So please, if you're normal. Let me know if you still appreciate the way I simplify things. One other thing I've heard a lot about people with ADHD is that they have a strong moral compass. And I'm not saying that people without it don't as well, but I can tell you that for me, well, I'll just list some of the traits and I'll tell you some of the like examples for me. So they're very generous. They have a low tolerance for things that are not in alignment with their values and beliefs, jobs, people, and also that they're not financially motivated. Not that they don't want money, but like that's not the primary goal. So I would rather literally, you could offer me $4 million a year right now to go work in a place that I hate or doing something that I hate or with people that are not kind or working for a company and doing something that is unethical, and I will not do it. I would rather take the lowest paying job and sleep on somebody's couch than spend my days and my life doing something that didn't feel in integrity with me. I've also heard that people with ADHD are very honest. Now, again, I don't know. This seems honestly kind of weird to me, but I cannot lie. Like, I cannot. My kids tried getting me to play this game. It's like a werewolf and villagers, and you pick a card and you're told which thing you are. There's other roles as well, but your purpose is to lie and trick people into thinking you're something you're not. The only way I can play that game is if I close my eyes and don't say anything because I can't. I almost physically cannot lie. When my kids were little, my husband he's like a really big joker. He's always telling lies and he would say something to the kids and they would immediately look at me to see if he was lying or not, because they knew, even to joke, I can't go along with it. I just can't do it. So I think maybe that's why I was so excited about that shift I had with marketing that I talked about in the last episode, about it not being about trying to convince somebody or trick somebody into doing something that they don't want to do and that isn't in their best interest. That the whole purpose of marketing is just to give them the information that they need and let them make the choice as to whether it's the best choice for them or not. Because for me, marketing is very hard if it means that I have to be dishonest in any way, if I have to portray myself as something I'm not, or if I have to try to talk somebody into doing something that's not in their best interest. There are a million ways that like that makes it really hard to do business. So that's another thing that I've heard about people with ADHD. But again, I don't know how they could scientifically measure that, but I have heard it from several sources. All right. So now that I've talked your ear off, oh gosh, this was very long, about all the symptoms, good and bad things about ADHD. And I do want to say overall, I love my brain and I wouldn't change it for the world. And knowing now, not knowing, I guess maybe my opinion would have been different, but now I know what's wrong. So I can look for ways to work with the brain I have instead of trying to make it work in a way it just literally can't. All right. So if you've listened this far and you're kind of feeling like, oh, I relate to some of those things, maybe I do have ADHD. And gosh, I kind of want to say, even if you don't, because I feel like my examples are pretty extreme. So I don't know. I don't know where I fall on the spectrum. But if you suspect you might have ADHD, I do have some suggestions. And remember, I'm not an expert. I'm not a professional. I'm just somebody who knows next to nothing. So here's what I would do, or some things that you could do. You can go on Instagram and follow some accounts that talk about ADHD, and I will link to some of my favorites in the show notes. Some of them are specifically ADHD focused, and some are just entrepreneurs who also have ADHD who talk about it. So start following some accounts and see if you still relate, or, you know, don't go just based on my symptoms and the things that I've talked about. There's also a self-test. There are lots of them, but I will link to a self-test that I really liked that can help you kind of gauge if you have ADHD or not. And then, of course, you'll want to speak to a professional and get an official diagnosis. Even if you don't intend to get on medication, I do suggest you speak to a professional and get officially diagnosed, because even with a diagnosis, And even with monthly appointments with a psychiatrist, so just if you don't know, a psychiatrist prescribes medication and doesn't do counseling. A therapist or counselor would do counseling and therapy with you, but cannot prescribe medication. So anyway, even with my diagnosis and even with monthly appointments and discussing how things are going, I still am afraid that one day I'm going to show up and they're going to say, oh, you know what? We were wrong. You don't have ADHD. You're just lazy. And I know it's not just me that thinks that, because I saw a meme on Instagram. Oh, I should have screenshotted it before this, but it mentioned something about that. Like every person with ADHD is dreading the day when somebody tells them, oh, you don't really have ADHD, you're just lazy. That's just, we've literally grown up thinking that and being told that our whole lives. So it's hard to let go of that fear. So I think that knowing that that is common, even with people who are diagnosed, I imagine it would be a million times worse if I wasn't officially diagnosed. So I do recommend at least getting a diagnosis so you know for sure. And then what you do with that is up to you. Some people decide to go on medications, others don't, others can't. For some people, it does take the magic away and they're not willing to lose that. For other people, it can make other things worse, like anxiety, so they choose not to be on medication. Others just don't want it, which is fine. Everybody's allowed to make their own choice. And there's lots of other things you can do. So I don't want you to not look into this further just because you don't want to be on medication. For me, I can say it's not magic. It didn't. Like, I took it one day and suddenly I got tons of stuff done. Actually, I struggled for a while and I was afraid to bring it up to my psychiatrist because I thought he was going to be like, oh, it's not working. So you don't really have ADHD. You're just lazy. Not even medication can fix it. I would still find myself, like, once I sat down at my desk to work, I did find it easier to focus and get things done, but it was getting to the desk part that was hard. I would still tend to want to like procrastinate on getting here and not want to do the work and just rather sit in my comfy chair with my notebook and read books and make plans and plot my takeover. So I really was like, oh, maybe I don't have ADHD, or maybe I'm hopeless. Maybe I'm so bad that even medication won't help. But as I've been on the medication longer, I'm finding it easier and easier to come to my desk. And I think maybe it's like I talked about before, how it's so hard to do anything when you have ADHD. So it's hard to want to come here and work because I know it's going to be a struggle. So maybe now after a few months, my brain is finally starting to be like, oh, it's not so hard. Let's go do some work because it's not going to be the huge struggle that it's always been. That's just my theory. So anyway, that's my experience with medication. Everybody's different and there are lots of different medications you can try as well. So again, not an expert. Some other things you can do with and without medication. There are supplements you can take. Amen Clinic is a good resource. I know there are a ton of others as well. That's just the one I know of. Brain health is important. So making sure you're eating brain healthy foods, exercising, getting enough sleep. And I'm saying this as something I know, not necessarily something I've been good at doing yet. And then, of course, following accounts that you relate to by people with ADHD and learning tips and tricks from them as well. I think, like I said before, that's probably why I was so attracted to Denise Duffield Thomas and specifically the Chillpreneur book, because it was all these things that helped her run a successful business as somebody with ADHD. She didn't know because she was just recently diagnosed as well, but it's just like out of necessity. Same with me, all these things that I've come up with to help me manage my life and my business. Some of them I've shared on the show. Anyway, there's lots of people sharing stuff like that. So you don't need medication. It's fine if you want it, but there are lots of other things you can do with or without it to help make managing your brain easier. And you can be a successful business owner with ADHD. There are lots of people who do it. So yeah, this has gotten very long and I tried to shorten it. I don't know how I could have said what I wanted to say without shortening it. And that's my ADHD brain saying you totally overshared and you bored people to death with stuff that they don't care about. But if you made it this far and you resonate with any of this, I do hope it helped. I just want you to know that you're not lazy and it's not that you don't want it bad enough and it's not that you're not willing to do the work. You've just have a brain that's different than everybody else's. But if you know that, and when you know it, you can start to make accommodations for it. And you have some magic in your brain too that other people don't have. So I hope this helped. I promise I'll be back next with a normal episode about something normal, at least something related to business. Until then, have a great week.